All right, Bucks fans, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here, sporting his Bill Curry Ford polo shirt.
That's right.
I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is here, and the custodian of Canton, looking lean. He's looking mean. Well, maybe not that lean, but Ira, how are you? We are firing up another podcast. We still got two to go this week. It's going to be through the weekend, but that's fine. The podcast marches on. We're live at Bill Curry Ford. Sage, how are you?
I'm puzzled. That's what I am, DeCamper. I'm puzzled. You know why? Because my scale in the house reads that I'm down 12 pounds. And when I go to Publix and drop another 100 bucks, when I go in thinking it's going to be about 15
Whoa.
Bucks, 100 bucks, boom. And I go out, I'm depressed already by spending 100. And then I hit the scale on the way out, and it says I'm down 6 pounds. Which scale am I supposed to believe over there, DeCamper?
Which butcher has his thumb on the scale? That's number one. Number $100, I don't think I've ever spent $70 at Publix, much less $100.
Come on. No, toilet paper went up. You know, all these things went up over here, Lee.
Okay, because I usually use Walmart for my toilet
paper. Well, my wife wants to make a pot roast. That's $22.50 right there. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on with the price of meat over there, Steve. I swear, I go in there, I'm going to get a half a pound of Virginia ham, and the next thing I know, it's $103. They know me in there. Everybody knows me, the cashiers, everybody.
Yeah.
I walked up the other day because my Lindy's magazine is on the stands. It's out. Brady on the cover because it's the Florida edition. Well, he should be on the cover of every edition. Of course, I look at my story, see my little name at the bottom. And, you know, this is the story where you got to give the grades, and the Bucks had the highest grade. And, you know, in the past, they've never had the highest grade because I'm grading them. Yeah. So anyway, I went up there and, you know, I got the magazine. And they go, oh, that'll be $9.50. And I go, I'm not buying it. I'm showing you my name at the end of the story. Oh, that's very good. That's $103, Ira. Stevie, take it away.
Well, Sage, that's exciting stuff over there at your local Pasco Publix, and you are the king of Pasco County, of
course. I'm going to believe, Steve, I'm going to believe the scale that gives me the best deal, right? I'm down 12. Forget the other one.
Now, do you go to the Odessa Publix on 54?
I do not.
I don't know if it is that specific Publix, but our good friends at Big Storm Beer have some kind of deal with Publix. I've seen a picture of it. They were producing their own special bratwurst with brimosa in it.
I'm going to ask my Publix manager for that, Steve. That
and
sounds,
I was going to go there, and I just ran out of time. I couldn't do it. But brimosa and bratwurst. Brimosa, beer and brats, only this is brimosa and brats.
Steve, if I have that for breakfast, I might not be down 12 pounds. So I got to be careful.
All right, Ira. Well, like I said, we're here at Bill Curry Ford, just hanging out for the day, drinking some Big Storm beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's a full showroom, as always. Sean Sullivan is not with us today because he's out there, of course, assisting all kinds of customers. And it was funny, Ira, because he just said to us when he left the room here, he said, there's a guy downstairs. I got to go help him.
Because he only wants to talk to Sean Sullivan.
He only wants to talk to Sean Sullivan, and that's how it works here. You come in, you ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. You insist on the general manager of this massive dealership helping you personally, and Sean walks you all through it.
He's here every day, right, Steve? He's here.
He's not here Sundays. Let's not get crazy. We don't want to go crazy.
Football Sundays. No way he's in here.
But Sean is here to help you personally. It's not a joke, and we're living it right here at Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com. They've actually got so many great giveaways this month. Not giveaways, but you can go to their website, BillCurryFord.com. You can see the charity giveaways that they're giving. You can drop off some food and some other things. Check them out.
I just saw some incredible models in the showroom. I mean, incredible.
What vehicles are their names, Ira?
I don't know, but those vehicles are sweet.
Do they look good? Okay.
No. Yes, they do.
I thought you were talking women for a second when I heard models.
No.
All right, look, Ira, bottom line. We've got stuff to talk about. You had a column, a couple of columns ago, you talked to Jimmy Giles, and I know you guys are buddies.
We are.
The old great Bucks tight end, 66 years old. He's in the Ring of Honor. A lot of our listeners didn't see him play, and that's fine. Not the point.
Now he's going into the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
Point is, Giles is, you know, getting honored, but he also said in that piece that you wrote, really, I had to read it, three times.
He did use that word. He did.
He said that O.J. Howard could be a revolutionary tight end in the National Football League. He thinks that highly of O.J. Howard and the little bit he saw last year with Tom Brady, O.J. coming back this year, obviously. Maybe he's fully healthy from his Achilles. Maybe he's not. But I have a feeling that maybe Giles talked to you on the side. It didn't make it into the column. Did he expand a little more on that, Ira? Why does the greatest tight end in Buccaneers history, we're not going to put Gronk there right. yet just in one
right.
season,
right.
why does he think O.J. Howard can change the game of football?
He's got a little history with O.J. Howard. He loved him coming out of Alabama. He watched him play for the Tide. He saw him have some huge games in some big, big games. And he thought he'd be a tremendous Buccaneer, and he thought he could help him. And it's really peeved Giles something furious that he's tried to reach out to Howard, and he doesn't get any reciprocation from the Howard camp. It's bothered Giles.
Now, just remember, you're talking to the proletariat. Reciprocation means he won't call back.
Won't call back, you know. And Giles, you know, is tight with the Bucks and the front office and the management. He's around the facility, you know, and he's in the Ring of Honor, of course. And I think he's talked to Arians about this. Hey, I think I can help your guy O.J. Howard reach his potential. And I'm sure Arians relayed the message to Howard, and it hasn't happened, Lee. Now, that tells you a little bit about what's going on with O.J. Howard. Who wouldn't want the help from Jimmy Giles, the best tight end in franchise history? But when he looks at Howard, Lee, he still believes that the guy can be a tremendously impactful player, which he has not been to this point. Let's be honest. Time's up for O.J. Howard yeah. in 2021. Lee, you've said it. You know his contract situation. Steve, he's very motivated, or he damn well should be. And if he can get over this injury, which was a bad one,
yeah.
and now he's got Brady throwing to him, he's out of excuses, Lee. When Giles said revolutionary or revolutionized the tight end position, I think I dropped my tape recorder. I think I did. I'm with Steve. I didn't expect that. You know, there's been a lot of great tight ends in NFL history. And just because, you know, he's 6'5" or whatever, it doesn't make him revolutionary. But it's an indication, Lee, of the potential, the ceiling that he thinks O.J. Howard has. We have not seen it. We just haven't seen it, Lee.
When I think of a revolutionary tight end, the one that immediately comes to mind is Kellen Winslow. No, I'm not talking about the masturbator and serial rapist and just
he's in the clink now, right? He's in the clink.
He ought to be. Yeah, yeah. He's in the clink. But his dad was revolutionary. I think O.J. Howard's biggest problem, I've been screaming this for about a year, Arians has tried to turn him into a blocking tight end. He's not a blocking tight end. Certainly not an H-back kind of guy. Now, that may have started the change with Gronkowski, even though O.J. Howard went on Pat McAfee's show and said, and he talked about the percentage of snaps that he was primarily a blocker, not a receiver. It was extraordinary. And like, you're wasting the guy's talent. What are you doing? But that changed with Gronkowski, because Gronkowski can block. So Howard was basically saying, what you saw with me last year is just a taste of what I could be. Well, you know, I have nothing against O.J. Howard, but you know what? Although this is water under the bridge, because the Bucks have a ring and the Vikings don't, O.J. Howard has done nothing to suggest the Bucks didn't screw up and get Dalvin Cook and not O.J. Howard. But that's water under the bridge for me because, again, the Bucks got a ring.
Dalvin Cook, one of the very few, Steve, running backs against the Bucks the last two seasons that has had any success. Any.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about Howard that interests me a little bit, and, you know, it's just a great question for Arians next time we talk to him on a more casual level, is this is the second year in a row that the Bucs have invested heavily in three tight ends. Three. So, you know, Howard now playing on his fifth-year option. Last year wasn't that big of an investment. I think I exaggerated a little bit. But this year, they're going with the $6 million. Brate's still there. Gronk's got a raise. No team in the NFL invests at the tight end position like this. Obviously, it was very successful. But last year, Brate started off benched. That was just the deal. And he finished very strong, including in the playoffs. I think he caught 14 balls in just the playoffs. A lot more competition this year, I think, because Brady already has that trust in Brate. And I saw the revolutionized line, and I was thinking, crap, he may not even get on the field that much if Gronk is healthy and raring to go, and Antonio Brown's here for a whole season, and Tom Brady trusts Cameron Brate, who is obviously healthy. It's going to be real interesting to see how it actually even plays out.
Lee, do you think that Howard showed enough in those four, five games, whatever, at the beginning. He caught two touchdowns from Brady. You think he showed Brady enough to whet Brady's appetite that, hey, I can't wait to work with this guy? You think he showed enough?
He showed something in the Chargers game. You know, if that's what O.G. Howard can be, this offense, who's going to stop it? If. You know,
if.
I that's a big word.
How do you think Brady's thinking about him, though, Lee? You think he's thinking about him?
I kind of tend to agree with what Steve is. He probably trusts Brady more because Brady's on the field. And he's got a rapport with him already. He's had success with him. He went to Brady against the Packers. He went to Brady early on against the Chiefs. Had one big gain, if I remember right. The second drive, first or second drive of the game, had a really big gain, like a 20-yard pass to Brady. Steve's on to something. The Bucs are one of the few teams that invest so heavily in tight ends. That tells me they kept Brady for safety net.
It also tells me that I think Arians and Leftwich are thinking of using that 12 alignment quite a bit with that two tight ends, which can dictate what kind of defense the opponent is playing. I think you're going to see two tight ends quite a bit for the Bucs.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, Ira, and I'm not just joking because it stimulated my mind here, and we need stimulation at all times on this podcast, Ira, and we're not talking about Kellen Winslow like Lee was referencing before. Look, Arians said, he told your guy, Sal Palantonio, who was on BSPN television, and they are going to use Brady in the shotgun a lot more through training camp because Arians says that's the least amount of stress possible on the knee. So, look, Brady's going to be in a lot of shotgun all through the summer because he doesn't have to drop back and plant and as much as I can go easy on his knee for as long as I can.
Isn't that an adjustment for Brady?
I'm going to do it. Well, it's an adjustment for Brady. But my contention is if Brady's in shotgun way more than he used to be in the summer, well, you know what? He's going to find things that he likes more about it. And he's going to see more opportunities. And they're probably going to be working more on things you do out of the shotgun, which is, you know, go 4 and 5 wide and things like that. So I don't know where that changes how the tight end fits in, but when you mention two tight ends, I think we might end up seeing less of it just because if Brady's practicing so much in shotgun, they might drift away from that a little more.
Lee, if you're only using one tight end, whether it's Gronkowski, Howard, Brady, and you're paying three of them top dollar, that don't make a lot of sense.
Well, I don't think they're going to get rid of any tight end before the end of the season. They're certainly not going to pull Gronk off the field. So, you know, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here.
What do you think of the shotgun situation with Brady?
Well,
would you change Brady after 21 years of football?
I see what Arians is getting at, but Arians also said he wasn't going to have Brady practice in minicamp. There was Brady out on the field in minicamp. So who knows? Who knows? When you first asked me about what I think about tight ends, that's why Red Hickey ought to be in the Hall of Fame before Don Coryell. Red Hickey invented for the NFL the shotgun. And it ain't a damn team in America doesn't use a shotgun. So you want to talk about impact on the game?
That means Ryan Jensen's got a lot of adjustments to make in terms of snapping the ball accurately.
I can't remember where I read this, but you know, someone was analyzing Bucks film. They said you can guarantee one bad snap a game from Jensen.
You don't want the ball at Brady's feet, and then he's bending down to get it, and pass rushers are charging after him.
That literally happened in minicamp.
Well,
he rolled the snap to Brady, and Brady got bounced around a little bit.
I'm not trying to drive you guys crazy. It's, you know, they won the Super Bowl. It's just an interesting nugget from Arians. We'll see how it plays out, just like everything else.
And if Sal Powell says it, it's the gospel, right, Stevie? You know that.
Well, Sage, look, speaking of gospel, the gospel is simple. Whenever you have a problem in your house, any kind of disaster, storms are rolling through, you've got a leak from a pipe, which causes all kinds of issues, and you find mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. That's the company name, Florida's Elite Restoration. They are local. They service the entire Bay Area. They're family-owned, but they're not too small to take care of you anywhere. They serve a lot of big businesses and complexes, but they bring their brand of personal service and free, absolutely free, in-home assessment of what's happening to your house. If you need them, call them 24/7. You can find them, Sage, at floridaselite-restoration.com.
We know people, Steve, personally, that have used the service, Florida's Elite Restoration, on multiple occasions, and can't say enough about their honesty, their craftsmanship. We know Josh. We know the people that he's hired. it's a Cracker Jack company, and it's got to be your first call ahead of your insurance company, Steve, if you think you have an issue.
A Cracker Jack company, and we love them here on this Cracker Jack podcast. Some people might think this podcast is only worth a box of Cracker Jacks, Ira, but we do appreciate the many thousands of listeners to the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's available, Podcast Addict, Ira, where you dominate.
I like the word dominate. I like it.
1,300 subscribers on Podcast Addict. There's nowhere even, nobody in the stratosphere in the local area on the podcast subscription level there. You lead on Podbean, and nobody else really shows numbers of subscribers, Ira, but we know that you dominate, and you are the sage. And of course, anybody can go back and listen to the last podcast, Lori Locust, 35 minutes with her, assistant D-line coach, a lot of insight. It's all football. It's no nonsense fluff about, oh, well, when you were in Girl Scouts, did you think of coaching the Bucks? No, it's all football, and she was excellent, and we'll have her back, as you can hear there on the podcast. But floridaselite restoration.com, don't forget them, and we appreciate Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, bigstormbrewery.com, and Sage, you know where we are here, right here at Bill Curry
who,
Ford.
Who can, Lee, you look at the D-line. Look at it. Sue had a big season. Will Golston, you and I believe, had his best season as a Buccaneer. Vita Vea was gone two-thirds of the season, yet they still lead the league against the run and they end up with 48 sacks. And, it, you know, not all the credit goes to the four linebackers. The Buck three-man front had a heck of a season, Lee.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. For those who haven't heard the interview yet, that was Will Golston was a very specific subject, and she had some very interesting insight, some insight that will raise your eyebrow, Ira. Because I won't go any further than that. You'll have to listen to find out what we're talking about, but she singled out Will Golston for some things.
And when Steve told me that Golston led the team in quarterback hits, I mean, that was stunning. I did not expect that.
Yeah. One thing that's stunning in that interview, Ira, and we can talk about it as a topic, because you keep hearing it over and over again without a ton of specifics, but Coach Locust, two things she said in there that were really higher level franchise type of stuff. One was that she said when they came in, the Arians regime, they had to sort of deprogram the defensive line on their thinking and their coaching and, you know, just sort of implying that there were a combination of bad habits and things that we're going to do a hell of a lot differently. That's number one. Number two, she talked about the culture change and the Brady change and that how things really needed to be changed. And essentially, and we're talking from 2019 to 2020, and there it is again, just getting rid of Jameis, another implication of a massive culture change.
You mean Tom Brady had a direct impact on the defensive line of the Tampa Bay Bucs?
She explained it in that interview, actually. She explained it. Yeah, that was a direct question, and she explained it.
They sort of expected to lose, the Bucs did, before. To me, it was a damning
That's
reflection.
That's an eye-opener.
Yeah, it was a damning reflection on Mike Smith and company. Damning. Now, it doesn't surprise me to hear her explain they had to deprogram and reprogram. You sort of expect that with the new coaching staff, but apparently the mentality of there was like a pall that was over the entire franchise. You know, it was very damning, very damning.
The first thing I think about, Steve, in that regard, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, is
tater tots?
No, close game in the fourth quarter, maybe even the Bucks ahead by 4 points or something, and you use that word pall, good word, Lee. 10 minutes left, home game. Everybody in the stadium could feel it.
Yes.
They're going to find a way to lose this game. That was very tangible. I'm not making that up, Steve. It was there even from the fan base.
Yeah. I have an image in my head from what she described as the cloud of dust hanging over Linus's head. Everybody under 40 who don't know who Linus is, do a quick Google search. Google image search, not Linus, Pigpen. That's his name. Do Pigpen on image search. You'll see it. There was this filthy cartoon character. Wherever he went, there was a cloud of dust hovered over his head. And that's what that was like with the Bucs franchises.
Losing erodes your confidence, Steve, from the player standpoint. It just erodes it.
Steve. You know, Steve was saying about, you know, this is an implication on Jameis. I'll go back even further, and I'll suggest Jameis got swallowed up by this. Remember Jameis, how he pounded on the podium last game of the season? If people cared more about football, if people cared as much as the coaches, we'd win some games. It swallowed him up too. Now, he didn't help himself. monkeying around with the Uber driver, et cetera, et cetera. But he got swallowed up. It was that big. He got swallowed up by it.
It's kind of like you at the Tribune, Ira. No, I'm teasing, Ira. All right, now, you know, on the flip side, though, on the flip side of that whole mentality, which, of course, was real. The fans felt it, and really the astute, close followers of the team felt it. And guys talked about this. I can go back in the Joe Bucks fan archives. Chris Conte talked about, man, he's made a comment that, gosh, I got here and what guys think we're going to lose. Like, it's the third quarter, and people think we're going to lose. He talked about that when he got here. And this is Chris Conte. This isn't, you know, Tom Brady. And we've heard that over and over again, and you know, there's a lot to it. But what about the flip side? Now we're in a situation where everybody expects to win. Now, we felt that with Brady last year, but now it's year two of this grand expectation of we're going to win it all. On Buccaneers.com, the offensive lineman, Ira, they had a Zoom call, the starters, and they just sat around and chatted with Casey Phillips about all kinds of subjects.
Were they at a bar?
No. A Zoom call.
All right, Zoom call. Right.
And one of the subjects that she put it out there, Casey says to them, well, you know, do things feel differently coming out of a Super Bowl and there's huge expectations and going into the season, whatever. And Alex Kappa jumps in and, you know, very calmly says, I don't think it feels a bit different. We had these massive expectations last year. Really, everything feels exactly the same as last year. Donovan Smith piles on and he says, I agree with that, and I think we all would, too, and he explains why. And then Ali Marpet, you know, the sage over there, checks in and says, it's all a bunch of media hype, the outside noise, and nobody that I know who's a good player really cares about that. It's all about your internal drive, and they fluffed it off as nothing. What do you think?
They love to say that, Lee. These guys love to say that. And when I asked, which I did repeatedly during the season, how does blocking in front of Tom Brady and knowing he's the crown jewel and his age or whatever, doesn't that ramp up the accountability and the responsibility to Donovan Smith and Marpet? I don't want to be the guy that gets Brady's knee twisted or whatever. And they say, absolutely not. We felt the same exact way in 2017 and 2018 because we're professionals. Lee, I think that's a lot of bunk. I think that's a lot of hokum. And I think having Brady behind you, I think it changes everything, Lee.
Yeah, I think it's subconsciously not hokum or bunk. I think they really believe that. But in reality, you and I know better. And we've heard enough players come out and say, oh, my gosh, Brady's here. And they before he even when they heard he was coming, not that they saw him in the building. When they heard he was coming, uh-oh. As the kids like to say now, shit got real. You can bleep out the four-letter word there.
I'm not sure he's going to bleep it out, but there you go.
You're darn right it amped up because I've heard this from several players. They didn't want to be that guy. Notice how they always said that about the virus? They didn't want to be
yes.
that guy?
Yes.
Well, they also didn't want to be that guy that blew a block
That's
and
right.
got Brady crippled.
Steve, I think it's a lot of nonsense that things didn't change from a mental standpoint of the offensive line once the GOAT comes into your building. It's got to change, Steve. You don't want to admit it because you want to say, I gave it 100% for Jameis Winston. I mean, what else are you going to say? No, I let down my guard? No, but you get it. You have to get amped up when Tom Brady's in the house.
Bingo.
You have to.
I got you. It's only human, but these guys are in a pensive mood, and they're thinking that it's nothing different
well,
than last year.
Well, we should give them a couple of Brumosas and see what they say.
You had a very interesting word earlier when you said reciprocate. Here's one for you. You're going to love this word. I was listening to Bill Polian the other night, NFL radio, and he was going over his top quarterbacks, and he has a group called Elite. Brady was the last quarterback to make the Elite group. But he referred to Tom Brady.
How many quarterbacks made the Elite group?
I believe five off the top of my head.
Okay.
And here's what he referred to Brady as. Again, being a connoisseur.
And, of course,
vocabulary.
Brady's a guy who broke Polian's heart many a time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He referred to Brady as redoubtable.
Redoubtable means beyond criticism.
Formidable.
And it's almost like you can't say anything negative about
yeah,
the guy.
And the more I thought about it.
That's a hell of a word.
I know. You don't hear that in football vernacular too much. And the more I thought about that.
I heard about it with Eddie Van Halen. He's redoubtable.
Damn right. Wasn't there a World War II British battleship, the Redoubt?
If there wasn't, there should have been.
You know, same word. Redoubtable. At any rate, what intrigued me about Polian. You know, he's not a big stats guy, but apparently this QBR that ESPN came out with a few years ago.
Not the regular passer rating.
No, which is different. Garbage. That's quarterback rating is trash. If anybody gets upset with me saying that.
QBR.
Just go Google all-time passer ratings and look at the list and try to tell me it's legitimate.
Right.
It's not. QBR. I thought that was some kind of newfangled thing ESPN came out with to try to be hip. Apparently, polling's been using that for decades.
Your friend, I just figured I'd throw it out there since you mentioned QBR. Your friend Ron Jaworski, Ira, is one of the founders of QBR with Chucky. Remember reading about that years ago?
Those two guys are tight.
They consulted with the ESPN stat gurus and created QBR, which is probably 10 years old now, and ESPN loves it, and they were ahead of the curve starting to create their own stats, which now we see now with Football Outsiders and all these other groups. So that's how that goes. So, I mean, it's an interesting number, better than the passer rating.
And I can't remember.
It's different metrics. Different metrics.
Yeah, so he has like four criteria statistically, what he judges a quarterback by. And he was talking about Brady's minimum 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio, minimum. Brady had four, basically. 40 touchdowns, 12 picks. It's almost 4-1. It's exceptional. But Pulling was going through the list.
And, of course, Aaron Rodgers is off the chain.
Rodgers number one. Yeah. Either him or Mahomes were number one. He talked about his completion percentage. And he said, that seems off. Seems low. He goes, I would love. He goes, right now, if I had someone to cut up tape, I would spend the rest of the night watching his incompletions to find out why that was off. Was it because he was rushing throws?
A drop ball?
Drop balls, getting rid of a ball to get, you know, avoid a sack, all kinds of stuff. He sort of thought there might have been something to it, you know, he's new quarterback, getting used to targets. But he thought the incompletion percentage was off. And he said, stats are not a cure, but stats lead you to the problem. And he said he would love to look at all the cut-ups, all of his incompletions, because his words, not mine, if you figure that out, it might win you a game or two, which is huge.
Lee, my favorite, if I was going to pick one stat in terms of quarterback, is average yards per pass attempt. I think that's a very telling one, and it's hard to, you know, I think Deshaun Watson might have led the league. And Watson had a hell of a year.
Yes, he did.
Considering what he was throwing.
Watson was in the elite.
Watson was in the elite.
Ira, if I had all
average yards per pass attempt.
If I had all those massages, I'd have a hell of a year, too.
Well, you had a good number of them, Steve. Good number.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
For
sure. Real quick, if people think Polian was ragging on Brady because, you know, they have a history, and not a good one for Polian's side, he also said the same thing about Mahomes. Completion percentage was a little down.
What's Polian looking for, Steve? 70%? I mean, that's Drew Brees.
You really have to dive into some of that stuff and see when the completions come and incompletions.
Guys were talking, the redoubt was a battleship, British battleship, World War One.
By the way, Steve, I want to point this out in terms of touchdown-interception ratio, which is critical, no question about it. Down the stretch, I believe during the 8-game winning streak, 22 touchdowns. 4 interceptions.
Wow.
4. And that includes 3 in the Green Bay playoff game, right, Steve?
Second
22
half.
22 touchdowns.
All? Oh, yeah.
4 picks.
Yep.
So that's 5.5-1, Lee. 5.5-1.
Ira, so now you've been busy. You talked on a previous podcast. You've been busy with your editing duties of the big Bruce Arians
Season
book.
In the Sun.
Season in the Sun book. You know, they may change the title. You never know. So I don't want to go crazy with that. But you're editing this book with Lars Anderson.
Did the forward with Bruce Arians.
And one podcast ago, you told a great story that's in the book, so people can go back and listen to that Gronk story. A classic, absolutely a classic for sure. But, Sage, I got to ask you this. For now, I know you've also been talking to power hitters at One Buck Place, power hitters, you know, the big boys, the meat of the lineup. Is there anything you can share about the state of the book, state of the organization?
Well, as I was saying to Kevin Minter the other day.
No, come on, Ira, you're talking to people.
Just kidding. No,
people expect you to talk to people. So I'm just saying, hey, you've been talking.
What can you like that one.
What can you share?
Well, I had a conversation the other day with a heavy hitter, and I said right off the bat, Lee.
And it wasn't Kevin Minter.
And Lee, you know me. And nobody's ever accused me of being a Buck homer. I mean, they just haven't. Whether I worked for United Press, the Tampa Tribune, or Joe Buck's fan. You know, Ira Kaufman, a Buck homer? No. More often I get, you're Mr. Negative. You're Mr. Negative.
Oh, I get that all
the time. So my opening line to the heavy hitter, you know, this is one hell of a football team. this is one hell. And I say it unabashedly. You know, I said it in the Lindy's magazine. It's one hell of a football team. Where's the weak spots? Where's the problems? Barring injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Barring injury. And this other, you know, the person on the other end of the line said, yes, it is. Yes, it is, Ira. And this is not a person prone to hyperbole. So, Lee, how can anybody in the building not think that way about this franchise? Buck fans are beyond, you know, out of their minds. I got them going 15-2. I think Brady's thinking about 20-0.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's far-fetched. I think he's thinking about it. Why wouldn't he be? And maybe some other guys on this team, too.
That's his last mountain to climb.
Steve, it's really incredible, the story of this Buccaneer team. And part of that season in the Sun, Lars Anderson's book that's coming out in the fall, is, you know, he does a little section on where this franchise has come from. It's history. The losingest franchise, perhaps, in all of the four major sports. That's got to be part of the story, Steve. The 76 Bucks. It's still never been topped. The 0-26 start. You got to remember all that stuff. And so it makes it even all the more sweeter where this franchise is right now.
Do you think Brady actually says to himself once in a while, damn, how lucky I am to be here? Because look at the team that's around him. You could make an argument, not even the Patriots at their height had this kind of loaded talent.
You know, in a way, Lee, it reinforces what Arians was saying after the 2019 season, and he was saying it to anybody who would listen to him, and he was very serious about it, Steve, and you know that. This wasn't no 7-9 team. This should have been a 10-6 team. And the next line out of his mouth to his buddies was probably, Damn Winston, cost us three wins.
Yeah.
He might have thought that.
I think it went more like 30 effing picks. What the F was that?
I'd still like to find out, why did this defense turn the corner the minute they dumped Vernon Hargreaves? What was going on before you dumped him, and why did you hang on to him so long?
And speaking of that, Lee, and I'll throw it right to Mr. Isbitz, if Sue is healthy, and they don't have a crippling injury to a Shaq Barrett or a JPP. Guys, if Vita Vea is healthy, shouldn't this be a top three or four defense?
You could argue that.
Could you argue that?
Yes, Ira, you should expect something like that, because I think you should expect the secondary to collectively improve. Last year they
weren't secondary.
Yeah, they weren't as good early, and so they should take a little bit of a step as a group. So I think that's a bigger difference than if Sue takes half a step back, but the secondary takes a full step forward. I think that more than will make up for it. You know, 3-4 months ago I was talking to you guys about, I think it's fair to say, and we'll do more with it later, that this could be the greatest offense in the history of football.
Could,
because of the talent on mm-hmm. the field.
Listen mm-hmm. to what you just said.
But it's true, Ira. You're always
well,
skeptical.
I mean, that's a hell of a statement.
But it's true. Look across the board. We've talked about the potential Hall of Famers, and when I have to put Tristan Wirfs in that category, because when you walk into the league as the best right tackle in football, most guys who've ever done that have walked all the way through their career.
Now, Lee, let's be real for a minute, to use one of your words.
They got to prove it.
Lee, Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones is not Marshall Faulk. Let's not go crazy here.
No.
So, you know, when I think of the 99 Rams and the 2001, Marshall Faulk might have been the key guy. He might have been.
He might have been.
And the Bucs don't have that.
He might have been, but I'll take Antonio Brown over Isaac Bruce.
You know.
But here's the catch, Ira. If those two guys you mentioned, Jones and Fournette, if they walk onto the field next year and combine for 1,750 yards, no one will even be the slightest bit surprised. And that's going to be more than Marshall Faulk would have had.
Billy Barnwell, the follically challenged Billy Barnwell of ESPN, he hates us.
Barnwell hates Joe Bucks fans?
Oh, yeah, most of the stat geeks do, because we don't swallow their statistical graffiti. Yeah, we don't do that. And a lot of people hate us, but you know what? We're also not asking for handouts either. At any rate,
nice line, Lee.
Billy Barnwell said he called it a long shot, but he can't dismiss it. Tom Brady sets the passing record this year.
Which record?
Yardage.
Well, 17th game is the
answer. Yeah, that's the big element. But he said he called it a long shot, but he can't dismiss it given the Bucs' targets.
Well, I mean, I think he threw for what, 4,600 last year? I mean, you know, breaking the record. I mean, he'd have to go up 600-700 yards or whatever it is.
He's got Antonio Brown for a full season, 17 games.
They're not going to abandon the
Knows
run
the
game,
offense.
Steve. They're not going to abandon it.
I have to say it doesn't happen because I expect the Bucs to be leading by significant margins in enough games where they're just going to hand the ball off.
Now, here's just a trivial element to that. Peyton Manning holds the record. 2013, I believe. His second year with Denver.
And he also threw 55 touchdowns that
year.
Did he? Yeah.
So this is Brady's second year with the Bucs.
Interesting.
New offense. Of course, you know, no risk it, no biscuit kind of guy calling the plays, allegedly.
Now, Lee mentioned mountain to climb, Ira, and that's not tater tots or your previous girth. We're talking about Tom Brady, and I'm going to disagree on the mountain to climb. I think the last mountain to climb for Tom Brady is not the undefeated season because there's too many variables that have nothing to do with Tom Brady in an undefeated season. I think it's the three-peat on the Super Bowl. So I'm going to throw that out there, see what you guys think.
Well, you're saying that he doesn't need any help for that either, is
no, but you can blow some games and still win a Super Bowl.
And he says he wants to play two more years, so I understand.
So
that.
I think, for me, that's the mountain to climb. What do you guys think?
Well, three-peat doesn't go down in history like a perfect season. I mean, how many years have the Dolphins...
No, nobody's ever done it. Nobody's
three-peat?
Ever done it.
Nobody's... We're talking Super Bowl, we're talking NFL
Super Bowl.
History.
You're talking about Super Bowl
Super
wins.
Yes. I was going to say, because the Packers did in the 60s, but it wasn't Super Bowls. Okay. I don't think it would go down in history like the Dolphins. You know, look at we 50 years from that? They're still celebrating.
We're still talking about them chugging champagne. We are.
I mean, how many people are talking about the Niners messed up and going for a three-peat? Or the Cowboys and Barry Switzer? Not too many people are talking about that. But every year, man, you know, I call it an honor. Other people think it's bogus that the Dolphins get together and they drink champagne when the last undefeated team loses. I think if I was the Dolphins, I'd be drunk all the time because I was undefeated. I mean, props to them, scoreboard. They should be celebrated, not mocked. But again, 50-some years later, every year they're talking about the Dolphins. Brady will be long gone from the face of this earth. If he has a perfect season, they'll talk about it.
Great point, Lee. Now, Steve, in terms of getting ahead of yourself, they haven't even embarked on year two, and you got him at the end of year three, Steve. Now, come on.
All right, well, Ira, here's how we're going out on this podcast. I got a question for you. Now, people need to realize that we have no preparation for this podcast whatsoever.
I hope that doesn't show, Isbitz.
I have my own piece of paper, so I will say I am a little prepared for all the podcasts, but we don't sit and talk about it. That's the bottom line. So
it's not rehearsed, ESPN.
There's no producer in the background screaming, more Kaufman, more Kaufman.
Yeah, no, we don't have production meetings.
Well, we do have Sean Sullivan warming up in the bullpen, Stevie.
We do have Sean Sullivan here because we're sitting here at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. On the east side, and don't forget our nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Sage, now I had talked to you about a 500th podcast, Ira Kaufman podcast, and my math was off when I mentioned that. So we have already passed the 500 podcast.
You gotta be kidding me.
And I could have pretended that I was gonna pretend we were close.
How did we pass it? I thought we'd do two a week, Steve.
That's what I was thinking, 100 a year, we're coming up on 5 years, but it's 104 a year. And it's not close. So we've hit 500 podcasts. Screw the 500th podcast official number. But Ira, I gotta ask you.
Well, we are coming up to my fifth anniversary, Steve.
Well, yeah, that we're not gonna screw. But Ira, I got to ask you this. 500 podcasts, what have you soaked in? What is your what do you enjoy, or what's been the impact to the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports from this podcast? And that could be anything.
To me it's the feedback. It's the reaction. For example, Lee, going to Big Storm last year for all the Buck Road games, and people coming up to me, complete strangers. Love the podcast. Love the podcast. I wish they'd say love the column a little bit too, but it's mostly love the podcast.
Wow.
And, you know, it's very heartwarming. It's very heartwarming, and usually they follow it up by saying, you three guys have great chemistry. So without getting too maudlin here, because I'm not that type of guy, Lee, because you know me, doing it with you two other guys, it makes it so much easier. I can't imagine doing your own podcast by yourself. I mean, that's horrible. It's the chemistry. you know, and you throwing me off and you saying that Winston led the league in passing and me saying, what the hell are you talking about, DeKemper? He led the league in passing yards. You're nuts. And Isbit saying, I completely disagree with you, Kaufman. I mean, I live for that kind of stuff. So after 507 or 511 podcasts, it's not drudgery, Lee. I hope you feel the same
way. Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
Well,
I hope that comes across.
I'm shocked you didn't include that this podcast got you a Ford Explorer.
That's not too shabby either.
And Bill Curry Ford.
That's not too shabby.
I was like, wait a minute, I'm only driving an Escape.
I'll be honest with you, and it still bothers me. Every once in a while, you and I will get into it. And after it's over with, like, you a-hole. What are you getting on IRA for? And it bothers me for days, if not weeks.
I have defenders out there, Lee.
Yeah,
defenders.
I mean, it really bothers me when I, you know, why'd you say that to IRA for, you a-hole, you know? And there are some things I say to you, I take it away from the microphone. It bothers me. Why did I say that to IRA?
Now, here's one thing. We're going to end the podcast with
Wait a minute. First, let me just say, I appreciate what Lee's saying, but I never feel that way, IRA. It's sports, and it's not supposed to be serious. And if you take it seriously, it's sports. That's what this podcast is supposed to be, what men do, right? We sit around.
Only thing missing is the beers.
We drink Big Storm
beer. And the Hooters girls.
And we argue about sports.
You guys know me by now, and you know I'm not thin-skinned. So,
but this is how Ira grew up, in the streets of Brooklyn.
That's right. You don't last 2 weeks in Brooklyn.
His best friend in Brooklyn walks up to him and says, Kaufman, you're an asshole. Smacks him in the head, and then they go to lunch. That's how it works.
And then we go play stickball. This is the way we should end this podcast, and I expect it. Here's something you should say to me, gentlemen, and I'm going to stand up.
A raise?
Isbits, you got the side view.
Uh-oh.
Ira, the waistline's a little down, Ira. Can you get yourself to say that, Isbits? Take a good look.
Ira, I said you looked lean and mean, but then I said maybe not lean.
Lee,
but
does the word svelte come to mind?
Yeah, ain't getting there. No. You're losing weight.
We will circulate a picture on social media of the new Sage, and you can.
I like that.
And we'll let the readers decide, which is what we're
get
all
a
about.
Get a side view. Side view is really important, Steve.